ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the fifth canto, chapter 1, text 37. Aho, alas, asadu, not good, anushtitam, executed, yat, because, abhiniveshita, being completely absorbed. Aham, I. Indriyai, for sense gratification. Avidya, by nescience. Rachita, made. Vishama, causing distress. Vishaya, sense gratification. Andakupe, in the dark well. Tat, that. Alam, insignificant. Alam, of no importance. Amushya, of that. Panitaya, wife. Vinodbrigam, just like a dancing monkey. Mam, unto me. Dik, all condemnation. Dik, all condemnation. Iti, thus. Garhayam, criticism. Chakara, he did. Translation. Actually, can anybody chant this Sanskrit? I can't. Any Sanskritists here? Okay. Is there a mic for him? Microphone?
Aho asadva anushtitam yat abhiniveshito aham indriye ravidyarachita vishama vishayandha kupe tadalam malam amushya vinitaya vinod vigam mam dhigdig iti garayam chakara.
One more time.
Aho asadva anushtitam yat abhiniveshito aham Indriyer avidya rachita vishama vishayanda kupe tadalam malam amushya vinitaya vinod ligam mam dig dig iti varayam chakara.
Anyone else?
Aho asadav anushtitam yad abhiniveshito aham indriyar avidyarachita vishama vishayanda kupe tad alam alam amushya vanitaya vinoda mrigam mam dhigdi iti grayayam chakara.
Aho asadva anushitam yad abhiniveshito aham indriyara vidyara chita visma visayanda kupe tad alam alam amusya vanitaya vinoda brikam mam dhik dhik iti grihayam chakara.
Aho, alas. We did this already, didn't we? Huh? Okay, sorry. Translation. The king thus began criticizing himself. Alas, how condemned I have become because of my sense gratification. I have now fallen into material enjoyment, which is exactly like a covered well. I have had enough. I'm not going to enjoy any more. Just see how I have become like a dancing monkey in the hands of my wife. Because of this, I am condemned. Please repeat. The king thus began criticizing himself. Alas, how condemned I have become because of my sense gratification. I have now fallen into material enjoyment, which is exactly like a covered well. I have had enough. I'm not going to enjoy any more. Just see how I have become like a dancing monkey in the hands of my wife. Because of this, I am condemned. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. How condemned is the advancement of material knowledge can be understood from the behavior of Maharaj Priyavrata. He performed such wonderful acts as creating another sun, which shined during the night, and creating a chariot so great that its wheels formed vast oceans. These activities are so great that modern scientists cannot even imagine how such things can be done. Maharaj Priyavrata acted very wonderfully in the material field of activities, but because he was dealing in sense gratification, ruling his kingdom and dancing to the indications of his beautiful wife, he personally condemned himself. When we think about this example of Maharaj Priyavrata, we can just consider how degraded is the modern civilization of materialistic advancement. Modern so-called scientists and other materialists are very satisfied because they can construct great bridges, roads, and machines. But such activities are nothing comparable to those of Maharaj Priyavrata. If Maharaj Priyavrata could condemn himself in spite of his wonderful activities, how condemned we are in our so-called advancement of material civilization. We can conclude that such advancement has nothing to do with the problems of the living entity entangled within this material world. Unfortunately, modern man does not understand his entanglement and how condemned he is, nor does he know what kind of body he is going to have in the next life. From a spiritual point of view, a great kingdom, beautiful wife, and wonderful material activities are all impediments to spiritual advancement. Maharaj Priyavrata had served the great sage Narada sincerely. Therefore, even though he had accepted material opulences, he could not be deviated from his own task. He again became Krishna conscious. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Neha bi kramanashosti pratyabhayo navidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. In devotional service, there is no loss or diminution, and even a small service rendered in devotional life is sufficient to save one from the greatest danger. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Such renunciation as Maharaj Priyavrata's is only possible by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, when people are powerful or when they have a beautiful wife, a beautiful home, and material popularity, they become more and more entangled. Priyavrata Maharaj, however, having been completely trained by the great sage Narada, revived his Krishna consciousness in spite of all impediments. Nama Om Shnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaday Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesha Shunyuvadi Praskitade Satarine Panchakalpa Trudubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanang Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So we've been asked to speak today. I personally have no qualification and feel that I don't deserve to sit on this exalted seat. But Srila Prabhupada actually said that we should be able to speak our Krishna conscious philosophy at a moment's notice. So hopefully I'll be able to say something worthwhile. So actually the position of King Priyavrata is our own position. I'm speaking of myself and maybe some others. That we are lost in the material ocean of sense gratification. And we are thinking that this is our business, isn't to enjoy our senses in material life. This is the position of everyone in this material world. Everyone has forgotten their original position as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, only meant to serve Him. That is our only business. But we're caught up in this material life, thinking that we're the body and the mind. And unfortunately, we drag these misconceptions into our devotional life. Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Australia in 1975 to a very large group of devotees. And he was saying that Krishna is asking to surrender. He's saying, "You rascals, surrender. But we won't listen." And he was speaking not only to outsiders, but he was speaking to the devotees. That we are in Krishna consciousness. Krishna has given us all good instruction. But still we don't get it. We still hang on to our attachments. And Srila Prabhupada in that lecture looked at everybody and he said that he used a very interesting word. He said, your bodies and minds, our bodies and minds are full of inauspicity. If you look that word up, it's not there. Inauspicity. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would coin his own terms. And probably some of them are now in use in the English language. So that is our position. Especially from the Western countries, we've come from such inauspicious backgrounds. And in the early days, Srila Prabhupada would preach to the Indian people. Only in those days, when I first came in 1970, there were only two or maybe three Indian followers. You know, maybe one was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. But he would say that those born in India have taken a very fortunate birth. At the time, we couldn't really understand that. But now we do, because of your culture. In the West, practically there is no culture. 200 plus a few years of history. That's all we have. You have thousands of years of history. So in that way, Lord Krishna has chosen to take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. Lord Chaitanya has also taken his birth in so many great acharyas and so on. So this is the land of spirituality, and this is the place that the Lord himself and the great acharyas have taken birth. And it is a very fortunate birth indeed, because you have a very strong culture still. It is there and it's being revived. Nowhere in the world is Krishna consciousness being spread as it's being spread here in India. So you're very fortunate in that regard also. The preaching is going on in a very amazing way. So sense gratification and material enjoyment lead to a dead end. There is no future. in that activity. It leads to simply increased attachment to sense gratification, and also throws us into the cycle of birth and death. And it is like a covered well. A covered well is a trap. You may be in a very nice valley full of very beautiful scenery, and you're walking along and suddenly you fall in a covered well. And there's no one around and you can't get out. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that we're his disciples are not afraid enough of Maya. And we tend to flirt with Maya. So that is our difficulty. But in that difficulty, we can also take lessons. Actually, Maya Durga is a great teacher. She's been given a thankless job to create the miseries of this material world and use them, just like she has the trident and meant so many other weapons. And she's using them to create miseries for us in this material world. There are three types of miseries: adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic. And if we analyze them, actually we're confronted with one of those or a combination of those at all times. The agitation or misery due to our own body and mind. And as you enter into old age, that simply increases. And that in itself is a lesson, that this is not a pleasant place to be. There's no place for a gentleman, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say. So these miseries, also the miseries from natural disasters. We read in the news yesterday that 2011 was the worst year for natural disasters around the world. And that will simply increase because of increased sinful activity. And also there's the miseries from other living entities. Simply by a mosquito bite, in a few days from the mosquito that carries a certain type of disease, brain fever or brain malaria, you can die in 2 or 3 days. We've seen this happen to even devotees. A few devotees in Vrindavan had that passed away because of that. And there are so many diseases. I remember a few weeks ago asking a doctor, how many diseases are there? And she just looked at me and she could not could not answer. Actually, I don't know how many there are. Does anyone know? Any doctors here? Hundreds, maybe even thousands. Yes. More than 20,000 diseases. And how many types of enjoyment can we get from this body? You can count them on one hand. Therefore, the body is meant for suffering. So we've been given a very bad bargain. And most often, we don't realize it. That's our problem. So we pray for the day that we can wake up from this illusion and actually take Krishna consciousness very seriously. So again, Maya is a great teacher. And we can learn from the miseries that we experience that this is not a very happy place to be. People think that they are happy, but this spiritual happiness is a much different category. I think we've all tasted something of spiritual happiness, otherwise we probably wouldn't be here. And that those few times of spiritual happiness that we've tasted can keep us here in coming back for more and more. It is so relishable. And material happiness cannot even compare to it. It is compared like iron. And spiritual happiness is compared to gold. One time Srila Prabhupada was with a professor in Los Angeles. Actually, this is on film. Srila Prabhupada was talking about the so-called advancement of material life. And he was asking the professor, so it used to be that we were going on two legs, going here and there on two legs, and now we are running here and there on four wheels. And Srila Prabhupada asked the professor, is this advancement? All this technology, motor cars, superhighways, and so forth. And the professor probably thought it was a very silly question. He said, of course it is. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not. And some of you sitting here today may think, why isn't it advancement? Srila Prabhupada explained, he said, it's not advancement because it's encouraging us to forget. It's helping us to forget our real goal of life. So the real goal of life is to get out of this material entanglement and go back to Godhead. But these gadgets and this advanced technology is helping us to forget that mission. Therefore, it's not advancement. It's helping us to go down the whole modern civilization. And for many people, that's hard to understand. But it is actually helping us to forget our real goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport, we can conclude that such advancement has nothing to do with the problems of the living entity entangled within this material world. Unfortunately, modern man does not understand his entanglement and how condemned he is, nor does he know what kind of body he is going to have in the next life. So Maharaj Priyavrata's lamentation is very similar to the lamentation of the Avanti Brahman as given in the 11th canto. This is a very interesting story, a very instructive story, that the Avanti Brahman was a very wealthy man, but he was such a miser that he didn't spend on his relatives, his wife, his children. He didn't even spend on himself. He was so miserly. And he was just thinking how to increase my wealth. Not spend as little as possible, but how to increase that wealth. And therefore, it turned out that everyone gradually began to hate him. And then his family members also began to hate him. And then he was rejected by everyone. And by force of circumstances, he lost his wealth. And he was just kicked out. So, at one point, he was so miserable that he became detached from the whole situation. And he took that as Krishna's mercy, that detachment. So, that is what we can pray for, is Krishna's mercy in any way it comes. It can come in different forms. We have very little power to do anything ourselves. We were speaking yesterday, how much independence do we have? And it was decided we have really no independence except the independence to desire. There's a very nice painting in the early days that came out in Bhagavad Gita. I'm not sure if it's still there. The spiritual world above, the material world below, there's a line between them. And the line is written the word desire. So that's our independence, that we can desire. So we desire to speak, and it happens. We desire to move here and there, and it happens. All these things are automatically carried out by the modes of material nature. So depending on what mode we're situated, then we act accordingly. So the body is a machine, and the fuel that keeps the machine going is the soul inside. And the soul is spread, the consciousness is spread throughout the body via the blood. So the blood passes through the heart, it picks up consciousness or energy from the soul, and is distributed throughout the body. So we've had experience, sometimes we are asleep and we wake up and our circulation is cut off and our arm or leg is dead because the blood is not circulating. So there's so much evidence that the source of energy is coming from the soul. And that was Srila Prabhupada's desire that scientists, devotees who are scientists, use their science to prove the existence of the Lord and His energies. So we can use anything and everything in Krishna's service except our desire for sense gratification. But actually that can be also be transformed because we have nice prasadam, we have nice singing, nice dancing, and we have cultural activities. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that the West will be conquered by culture. Not the Western culture, but the culture of Krishna consciousness. So the means of self-realization is very easy in this age by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by taking Krishna Prasad, by associating with devotees. Actually, association is the most important aspect of our spiritual lives. There's a verse in the 11th canto which lists, I cannot quote it, but it lists all different types of spiritual activity. Different kinds of tapasya, reading of the scriptures, giving in charity. The list goes on and on. And at the end it says the most important part of all of our spiritual practices is good association, association with pure devotees. So that's what we should seek out, that good association, and try to spread what we've been given. Even though we may not fully understand it and fully take to Krishna consciousness, we can still distribute what we've been given. So it's very interesting, in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada said that a seemingly fallen devotee, once he's come in contact with Krishna consciousness, he's actually not fallen. That's a very interesting statement. Because sometimes we see devotees have left Krishna consciousness and our tendency is to reject them. But actually it is only a temporary problem. Because they have come to Krishna consciousness, their path is upwards. Just like we were talking about the path of the materialists, their path is going downwards. They may come up a little bit, but then the general tendency is going down. So with a devotee who's come in contact, no matter how little with devotional service, his path is going up. Just like a child learning to walk, he may fall, but he gets up again. He never gives up. So a devotee, even though he may seem fallen, he cannot give up Krishna consciousness. Either in this life or next life, he is on the path again. Therefore, I believe in the scripture Madhurya Kadambani. Is that the scripture? Yeah. It's said that one should not criticize even a fallen devotee because he will eventually become pure. And that's still an offense because he is a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam also says that one should generally not criticize, lest one make the mad offense of criticizing, the mad elephant offense of criticizing a devotee. So better not to criticize at all. In our conditioned state, we have that tendency to criticize because of envy. Every conditioned soul carries envy to a lesser or greater degree. So we should be very careful not to criticize even a fallen devotee, but try to help. The great souls, the great devotees try to uplift everyone in any condition. Sometimes fallen devotees would come to Srila Prabhupada and he would always encourage them. I remember one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada in Laguna Beach, and he had a mustache and he had long hair and he was in a fallen condition, we can say. And he told Srila Prabhupada, I'm trying to forget Krishna. Kind of a shocking statement. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, that is not possible. And actually it is not possible. Once tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness, you'll again take it up. So it's actually impossible to forget Krishna once we've tasted Krishna consciousness. So we've all tasted Krishna consciousness, and it is our duty to give that to others. And it's a very wonderful process, because as we say, if a conditioned soul receives Krishna consciousness to any degree, even a very, very small amount, only hearing the mantra, then the seed is planted. It's like my first introduction to Krishna consciousness was in Los Angeles in 1969. I came out of the induction center where they draft you to go into the army. Luckily, I was rejected for different reasons. And they said, yes, you can go home. So I went out on the sidewalk, and the first thing I heard was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It was a chanting party just across the street, and it must have been Vishnu Jan Swami, because his service every day was to go out downtown Los Angeles on Harinam. And in those days, Harinam was done 8 and 10 and 12 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. That was the main engagement for devotees. So that's how I was captured. And so thank you for your preaching. It is very wonderful to see, especially during the Christmas marathon. And we are all very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada was saying this in Denver in 1975. We're all sitting on the front porch. Srila Prabhupada was in his rocking chair. And he said, you are all very fortunate. He looked out at all of us and he said, but don't become unfortunate by leaving Krishna consciousness. And we have to consider, of course, we can never forget, but at the same time, if we leave, then all that time is lost. It is wasted. It is wasted. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. You have a microphone?
Thank you, Yadavar, for a fabulous class. I really appreciate your point on emphasizing the importance of chanting the holy name, especially in public. It seems that tendency has been lost in ISKCON around the world, unfortunately. But it states in Sri Namamrita that anyone who hears the holy name of Krishna even one time, they get so purified they don't have to suffer the reaction for all their past sins. Then repeated hearing, they lose the propensity, the tendency to commit sin, and develop their pure love for God. So, it's a very great benediction to go out and chant the... it's a very great benediction for everyone in the universe to actually, when we go out on Harinam Sankirtan, because not only the people hearing are getting benefit, but the vibration is purifying the whole universe.
And we are also getting benefit.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't see the Harinam party so much anymore, but I think it's not lost. At least, I think at every temple all over the world, at least once a week, there is Harinam going on. And also very encouraging to see how kirtan has been taken up all over the world, especially by the youth. In my own family also, my daughter is very 17-year-old daughter, Hari Priya Dasi, is very enlivened in kirtan. She can sit for hours and hours. We've seen the youth in practically every center you go to. There's a circle of youth who come together regularly for kirtan. So that's very encouraging. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. Microphone.
I heard you say that Srila Prabhupada said that in the West change will be through culture. So what's the meaning of culture?
Culture has a very broad meaning in my understanding. It can mean music, it can mean dance, it can mean yoga, it can mean Ayurvedic medicine, it can mean so many things in the Vedic tradition, all connected with the Vedic tradition. And sometimes those things are being used to attract people. I came from New Zealand had a 1 month in New Zealand last year, in December, a year ago. And they're using very successfully, they have yoga classes. Sometimes devotees raise their eyebrows when they hear this. But I saw it being used very successfully. Their focus is very, very fixed, that this is a means to attract people, but it's also a means to keep the body healthy. Srila Prabhupada said that himself. So all these things can be used to attract devotees, to attract people to our Krishna consciousness. Everything can be used. Why not all these things in our own culture? Does that answer your question? Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.